Hi everyone, I'm Jacinth A. Galpin and you're listening to the Risk-Tree podcast. Coming up on this week's episode, the epic story of Madam C.J. Walker, America's first female self-made millionaire. Born into slavery and poverty in the American South, and with only 3 months of formal schooling behind her, Madam C.J. Walker, cognizant that the America of the late 1800s and early 1900s wasn't about to hand her, an African-American female, opportunity, chased it herself, building herself an empire and inspiring thousands of other African-American girls and women to follow in her footsteps. C.J. Walker is a great illustration of when life hands you lemons, throw up that middle finger and go build yourself an empire. And make sure those who doubt it know about it. On this week's episode of the Risk-Tree podcast, the life and times of Master of the Risk Universe, Madam C.J. Walker. Madam C.J. Walker was born Sarah Breedlove on December 23, 1867, to Owen and Minerva Breedlove near Delta, Louisiana, on a plantation where Owen, Minerva, and Sarah's five older siblings had been previously enslaved. Sarah would be the only child of Owen and Minerva to have been born into freedom. While Sarah did not have to endure the horrors of slavery, her childhood proved to be a traumatic one. When Sarah was five, Minerva passed away from cholera, and then her father passed away a year later. Now an orphan, Sarah went to live with her older sister, Luvenia, and her husband, Jesse Powell. Luvenia and Jesse quickly found Sarah a job as a domestic servant, a role Sarah, who longed to attend school, despised. Sarah also found that Jesse was a cruel and abusive man who made her day-to-day life a torment. Desperate to escape, when Sarah was 14, she married Moses McWilliams. By all accounts, the marriage was a happy one. And in 1885, Sarah gave birth to a daughter, Layla. Whatever joy and contentment Sarah may have experienced at this time, it was to be short-lived. Moses passed away suddenly in 1888. Sarah was now just 21, a widow, with a daughter to raise on her own. Sarah made the decision to move to St. Louis, where her older brothers were working as barbers. Here, Sarah found herself work as a laundress, earning $1.50 a day. Not enough to be comfortable, but enough for Sarah to be able to support herself, Layla, and most importantly of all for Sarah, allow for Layla to get herself an education. In the early 1890s, Sarah found herself struggling with both dandruff and significant hair loss. She turned to her brothers for advice on hair care, began experimenting with homemade traditional recipes, and she began to work as a salesperson for Annie Malone, an African-American entrepreneur who had her own line of hair care products. Sarah began to flirt with the idea of curating and selling her own line of hair care products, specifically targeting African Americans, a market that had, up until that time, been largely ignored. Sarah had found herself an opportunity, but it would be close to a decade before Sarah began to realize that opportunity. That realization would come in the form of Sarah's marriage to Charles Joseph Walker. Walker was extremely supportive of Sarah starting her own business. he helped her build a profitable business model, supported Sarah in her advertising and promotions. In 1905, Sarah and Layla relocated to Denver, Colorado, where Sarah threw herself into making her own hair care line a reality. Charles would join them soon after. Sarah rebranded herself as Madam C.J. Walker, and with Charles's assistance began to sell her own products, which consisted of a shampoo and a pomade, door-to-door. Specifically targeting African-American women, whom Walker would patiently educate about the benefits of good hair care. In 1906, Walker and Charles spent a total of 18 months in the American South, selling Walker's suite of products door-to-door, doing live demonstrations of her products in churches, community halls, on the street. Sarah was hustling, and her hustle got her all the rewards. She and Charles relocated to Pittsburgh in 1908, where Walker started Layla College, a hair care college specializing in African-American hair. Walker created a sales program and began hiring her own sales force, thousands of people across the nation. Business was booming. So much so that in 1910, Walker built her own manufacturing space in Indianapolis. She opened a hair and nail salon. And she opened yet another training college. Walker was diversifying her realized opportunity. Walker began to solidify the Madam C.J. Walker brand. Her and her sales force would wear uniforms, a white shirt and black skirt, that made them instantly recognizable. They would carry black satchels of product with them. Walker began to heavily advertise in African-American newspapers, churches, community spaces. Within a few short years, Madam C.J. Walker had become a household name. America's first female self-made millionaire. As Walker continued to grow her empire, she turned to activism. She realized that her wealth and privilege offered her a voice and platform. Typical for Walker, she didn't turn her back on opportunity. Walker loved the US, but she was cognizant of the flaws of the American experiment. And she was devastated by the ongoing day-to-day humiliations African Americans endured. Quote, "This is the greatest country under the sun. But we must not let our love of country, our patriotic loyalty, cause us to abate one whit in our protest against wrong and injustice. We should protest until the American sense of justice is so aroused that such affairs as the East St. Louis riot be forever impossible." End quote. Walker referring to the 1917 East St. Louis riots, where it has been estimated that up to 150 African Americans were murdered over a two-month period by white vigilante mobs. Walker was amongst a group of African American activists who made a pilgrimage to the White House to present a petition promoting anti-lynching legislation. Walker began to invest in public spaces that catered to African Americans, schools, community halls, churches, orphanages. She actively promoted fellow African American entrepreneurs and business people, such as Vertner Tandy, the first licensed African American architect in New York City, whom Walker commissioned to design one of her homes. Walker also began to invest heavily in the education of African American women, teaching them how to build their own businesses, how to budget, how to promote and market themselves, and how to become financially independent. Walker was paying it forward, opening doors that had been closed to her. She never wanted there to even be the slightest opportunity that an African-American female would miss out. Madam C.J. Walker passed away in May 1919 from kidney failure. She was just 51 years old. Even in death, she continued to pay it forward. Her will directed that 2/3 of all profit emanating from her estate be directed towards charity. Madam C.J. Walker's life was one of opportunity realized against all odds. It's also the life of someone who was hyper aware of her limitations. For example, Walker would forever be somewhat ashamed of her lack of formal education, despite the absence of it not being her doing. She was hyper aware of her limitations, but never once allowed those limitations to be used as an excuse or reason not to try. Hers was a life of driven ambition to get it done. She hustled. She burned the midnight candle. If someone told her no, she pretty much said, "Hold my beer," and did it anyway. Hers was a life that has given hope and light to generations of women that they can realize what many would see as the impossible dream. I could go on and on about why Walker is a risk master, but I'll let Madam C.J. Walker tell you herself. I am a woman who came from the cotton fields of the South. From there, I was promoted to the washtub. From there, I was promoted to the cook kitchen. And from there, I promoted myself into the business of manufacturing hair goods and preparations. I have built my own factory on my own ground. Thanks everyone for tuning in to this week's episode of the Risk Tree podcast. If you enjoy listening to the podcast, then please consider subscribing. You can find the podcast on your usual podcast platforms. New episodes are released every Monday at 6:30 a.m. US Eastern Time. If you want to learn more about the podcast or access the back catalogue of episodes, then please head on over to the website at www.risktreepodcast.com. If you want to contact me directly, then please reach out on LinkedIn, or you can always email me at jacinth@risktreepodcast.com. I'm Jacinth A. Galpin. I love risk and I love history. You have been listening to Risk Tree.